You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Don't just watch the draft, play the draft. Dog Pound, join me in a Play the Draft contest with the Cleveland Browns. Play the Draft is a free, easy-to-play fantasy game for the NFL Draft. Find undervalued draft prospects for your chance to win VIP experiences, tickets, gear, and more from the Browns. Sign up now at clevelandbrowns.com. Adam Kaplan reporting just now on Twitter that the Browns are considering Rob Housler an option at tight end. There are a lot of people who think he had skills very comparable to Jordan Cameron. Actually, was a better after-the-catch guy. Size, speed, could be that vertical seam tight end at a much cheaper price point for the Cleveland Browns. But when you heard the music, Notorious, you know it can mean only one thing. Our man, the Notorious VIC, the godfather of Cleveland Browns Daily, joins us now. What's up, Notorious?
How you doing? Good to be with you.
Good, man. Are you out in Arizona at these owners' meetings?
I am sitting, outside, and it is, I think, supposed to hit 90 today.
Oh, stop it, Vic.
I'm really looking for a cloud here, Nathan. I don't see one.
I love the desert, man. So, I'll be, when I retire someday, I'll be living in Scottsdale, not too far from where you are. Are you guys at the Biltmore?
Yeah, you told me that. I see a place with your name already on it, so it looks pretty nice. At the Biltmore, yes.
Yes, a fine place. I played... When I was there for WrestleMania many years ago with the WWE, that's where they put everybody up. And that pool there, I played a mean game of water slide football on that pool there. It's a fine pool.
Nice.
It's a good establishment, the Biltmore. So, Notorious, you've caused quite a stir. Breaking news, still bringing the Browns at the forefront, which is great, about Hard Knocks. What do you know?
Yeah, so what I reported and what I still stand with is that they are a front runner among multiple teams that are being that are qualified, and you know there's a sort of set of qualifications that the NFL sets up
right
for teams that are eligible to appear on Hard Knocks. And my league sources tell me that the Browns are the top choice of the league to be there, and really the Browns in this. The way this is set up, and the term forced is used by the league, saying it can, quote, force a team that doesn't want to do it. And that word came up because teams started to resist. Some teams do, and it's the natural inclination of some coaches to not want this. My sense is that the Browns do want it, that they would like to do this, and that they think it could bring some favorable publicity to the team.
I agree.
Not unlike what Mike Brown said a while back. You remember, and I think we talked about, I know we talked about it on CBD back in the day, Nathan, that Mike Brown, the owner of the Bengals, thought it was a good thing for the Bengals to be featured the year that they were as
Change
a smaller
perception.
Market team.
Sure.
Right? And as a team that doesn't get a lot of attention, and a lot of the attention it was getting was that of a team that maybe couldn't shoot straight, didn't know what it was doing. Well, obviously, there's been more than a little bit of unfavorable pub for the Browns, to say the least. And I think, pulling back the curtain for this team, it happened once with a NFL Films did the road tested series that also appeared on Travel Channel. Got a lot of favorable feedback from that. And I think this falls in the same category.
Vic, now the Cleveland Browns were not very active in that first few days, even the first week of free agency, but have came out and won the second week with the signing of Randy Starks, Tremont Williams, and Dwayne Bowe. What do you make of those signings and adding some veteran experience here to the Cleveland Browns?
Yeah, just that, Matt. The thing that strikes me about the moves they've made is that they are veteran moves and that they are trying to bring a presence to the team of not just on-field game-playing experience, but I also think the experience of players just having been in the league and maybe setting that leadership compass in ways that I think are helpful. And I think when you sort of go year to year, your roster always does turn over about that third of a roster. And in more cases than not, it ends up being a younger roster. And I think when you look at a Browns team that had multiple picks on the first round last year, that's got multiple picks on the first round this year, knowing that you're going to have continued infusion of youth, it makes sense to me to bring aboard these more veteran, these more experienced guys to the team. Ultimately, they got to play. They got to perform. And I think the question, of course, is what do they have left in the tank? What can they get out of them? This is a produce-now league. This is, you're not trying to wait on some kind of program to develop. And Mike Pettine and Ray Farmer, I think, know very well that they've got to deliver something. They feel pressure, as everybody pretty much in this game does, and the clock is always ticking. So I think that's also part and parcel to why they've done what they've done.
Vic, do you also, does signing these guys in this last week at all alter their draft board at 12-19 as the draft looms closer and closer?
Alter their plans, position plans? I would say probably not. I think most teams have, I mean, they certainly have need-based approaches to the offseason. And yes, if you address something substantially, and by substantially, I mean in that first week, but especially those first few days where the dollars are spent at the highest level, you're not going in. I'll use Buffalo as an example. They make a trade for LeSean McCoy. They restructure a deal that's going to put $16 million in his pocket this year. You wouldn't see them as targeting a running back in the draft. Maybe nowhere, possibly toward the end, but probably nowhere. But I think in the case of the Browns, it would still be a viable thing to look at position like tight end. That's clearly still a need, although I don't think this draft is very deep there. But, if they're unable to get one via an outside, an open market guy or a trade, that they'd have to probably still look at that spot to just make sure you've got a person there competing there. And scouts always tell you that they do their best work unearthing those gems that are not obvious in the early rounds, that they do their best work on the second and third days of the draft. So I think that and other positions that are still falling under the need category, wide receiver, that I don't think you'd look away from that, especially knowing that you've brought in older players, so
right,
the shelf life on those guys is limited.
Right. Bo, Hartline, Hawkins, your top three receivers, none of them young, and all on second or in some cases third deals at this point in their career. Talk with Vic Carucci, the Godfather, CBD Notorious, VIC Notorious. A lot of talk still about the Browns and quarterbacks. You know, the report came out that they offered number 19 for Sam Bradford. What have you heard about the Browns and the quarterback position?
Yeah, it's something that I think is still very much, in their on their radar and something they look at actively. And I think Ray Farmer and especially Ray, because as he looks at the overall position, you got to have a couple of things. You got to have that guy that you can count on for multiple seasons. Is that Josh McCown at this stage of his career? It's a push given the years that he's been in the league, but if he is, in talking with the Bill Polians of the world and talking to other personnel people, current and former in this league, they say that he might be about as good a guy as you can put out there for the short term, for the bridge that you're looking for. The questions that persist about Johnny Manziel and his future obviously are going to influence their thinking to see if they can get the guy that is there now for more years, for several years. Is he in this draft? It doesn't seem likely, but I would never rule that out completely. And again, I think this is where your analysis is got to be really good. Your homework, your digging has got to be so strong to see what fits there. And the other thing too is what fits what you're doing offensively with a new coordinator and more new ideas, I guess, coming to this offense. How that plays into things. And I think McCown is the perfect guy who is a quick study and will figure things out pretty quickly, will put in the time and discipline to do that. That's another thing that a young quarterback has to learn. Clearly something that we can say safely that it wasn't Johnny Manziel's strongest trait. It was his worst trait that I think invest the time to get to learn an offense. Now going through what he's going through, does that change his perspective? Because he's going to need to become the student that he wasn't a year ago.
Yes, he is. He's going to need to become a student of the game, and hopefully getting his life on track will help him do that so he can have success off and on the field. Your Buffalo Bills, Notorious, they have been active this offseason. Lots of changes. We know Rex Ryan came in, the trade for LeSean McCoy, obviously Percy Harvin, Charles Clay, making Charles Clay the NFL's highest paid tight end over the next two seasons. What do you think of with all the things that the Buffalo Bills have done? And certainly it's been fun for you, I'm sure, covering all this stuff.
It's been fun. It's been active and busy. I've never been too far away from my phone. In fact, I've never been far from my phone, and I've been called away from many more dinners than and other things that I that I didn't used to, I guess, or hadn't been for a while. But it's great to be back into the beat life of covering the NFL. They've been really active, and I think what they've done in terms of just analyzing it in March, the moves fit what Rex Ryan, the vision of what he's trying to build, and he's essentially said, these are the parts I need, to Doug Whaley, the general manager, especially to the ownership of Pegulas, and the Pegulas are saying, okay, here are the resources, and much of that comes in the form of the front money, you know, that cash that is liquid that you've got to put out there to make these deals happen, and a lot of the contracts are front loaded so that they are you're able to get the guy and obviously attract him to your team, but then you're able to amortize to write those longer deals that allow the money against the cap to be cap friendly, friendlier. And in many of those cases, including the Clay deal, those other than the early portion of the contract, which was meant to discourage Miami's match, that actually will match up as a cap friendlier deal. Now they're down to maybe a little over $5 million left, but they've gone after the fullback position that Rex wants in this offense. Tight end, we talked about re-signing Jerry Hughes, which is a huge component to keep that defensive front together. Percy Harvin, we'll see how that works out. It's essentially a one-year deal for him. If he can behave himself, he could be a weapon in many ways, return guy, runner. So, you know, I think they've done a lot of things that look good on paper, guys, but let's see what happens.
Notorious, with the relationship between Mike Pettine and Rex Ryan, you think we'll maybe get a Browns-Bills scrimmage this offseason or joint practices or anything of that nature? Have you heard anything along those lines?
I've not, but I'd love it. I mean, wouldn't that be great?
Yes.
Especially if the Browns
get Hard Knocks, I feel like it has to happen.
Oh, you're right, because that dynamic ends up just making it more of the, you know, for the programming standpoint. And as I said, in my mind, you know, I can picture – first of all, there are, I mean, of those teams that are listed as eligible, what was fed back to me from my sources within the NFL are that, number one, Mike would make a tremendous narrator.
The
head coach ends up, he's the narrator, right? Who is more straightforward? Who is a better communicator among coaches? I put him right at the top of the list. And then the other storylines that go with it. And by the way, Mike has that experience having been with the Jets for their Hard Knocks trip. Ray Farmer has the experience, and because he was with the Chiefs when they were on it too. And additionally, and I covered when I was with NFL.com, I covered about two or three training camps where Hard Knocks was present in the years that I would travel through camps. The Ravens was one of the first ones. They had six cameras all in the you'd go in the dining area, and it was so funny. And somebody told me, they said, "Look, don't make sure you don't get too much schmutz on your face while you're eating lunch here, because the camera's going to catch you. You know, you get something on your nose or whatever, and you walk out of here, the cameras see it all, and they are everywhere and ever present." So, but one other thing, and I've heard people discuss this about how does a team come off? How will it look? The Browns, NFL Films runs the production. Browns staff will have ample opportunity and eyeballs through the editing process. So this doesn't just go on as raw footage. I mean, I know you know that, but I mean, I think people need to be reminded that it doesn't just go out there, okay, we'll choose about what we want to show on your football team on our terms. No, the team has a big voice in what makes air.
Last one, Notorious. Have you heard anything down there about Texgate and when, if ever, any punishment will be handed down, and what you've kind of heard along those lines about what it may or may not be?
Beyond what I read from Peter King, who had a lengthy Q&A with Roger Goodell, and Roger said that they were closing in on sort of like finalizing the results of some of these investigations, Deflategate, and I think Texgate being obviously another big one. But I think Deflategate is the one that has the most heat and light on it. And my sense is we won't hear anything before these meetings conclude on Wednesday, or at least I'd be kind of surprised if that was the case. And I think it's something that they would probably want to trot out there at some point between now and maybe the next time the league gets together for meetings in San Francisco. But it sounds like they're close, whatever that means, I don't know, and what the resolution will be or what the outcome is going to be, I don't know either. But like you, Nathan, I'm anxious to see how it comes out.
Notorious, always a pleasure. Enjoy the fun and the sun in Arizona and covering the owners' meetings, which I know you love to do.
That I do, and always. But you know what? I also love being back on with you and Matt, and great to hear your voices. And we will, I'm sure, talk down the line.
You got it. Thanks, Vic. All right, there he was, the Godfather, Notorious V.I.C. Vic Carucci on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. So that's the latest on the Hard Knocks thing. Sounds like the Browns want it and that the league considers the Browns the front runner. That's what league sources are telling Vic. Again, your reaction to that, 216-578-0850. We could talk about that and anything Browns here on CBD on ESPN 850 WKNR. I got my eyes on you. You're everything that I see.